Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 25. Ben Flanagan of Aspect Radio. Ben Stark of Wonder Mill Films.
Ben, how's life?
It's good, Ben. Always good.
Wow, that is something. Okay, so I was thinking this summer sees the release of Mission Impossible Rogue Nation and Terminator 5, both of which are clearly the fifth entry in the franchise. Another way to say that might be the fourth sequel. And it kind of got me thinking, like, hey, I really like Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, and I like Lethal Weapon 4, and, you know, there's actually more Mad Max Fury Road just came out. You know, there's actually more good fourth movies than you might think there would be. But then I started thinking about, you know, well, we've got these two fifth entries coming out. Like, what's the track record there? So I got on the Box Office Mojo and just kind of looked at the franchises and listed them by, like, number of entries and just looked at the fifth entry. And it's not super encouraging. So I just kind of wanted to talk to you a little bit and kind of see, like, am I wrong? Am I just, like, kind of down on a lot of these movies? Or in general, is number five kind of – I can think of only one instance where the fifth entry is the best one in the series, or clearly the best one in the series, you know, without some sort of massive, you know, nerd argument.
Yeah, well, my question would be, before you went and checked to be sure at boxofficemojo.com, what was your level of hope there for – whether or not you would find a lot of good movies? Because I think before this new dawn of sequels and prequels and reboots and blah, 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 blah that we live in now, and yes, there have been sequels and, you know, those kinds of movies and continuations of franchises since we can remember, but just in the old days when you thought of, like, the fifth movie in a franchise and beyond, you would think of, like, Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th and movies that just – needed to make the quick buck the old and easy fashion way.
Police Academy.
Fashion way. Yeah, and Police Academy, exactly. Like, you think of those movies. The fifth movie was kind of a punchline at that point. And these days, it's more than that, you know, because of the movies you just mentioned, and I'm sure the very few movies you're about to mention.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the first thing I thought, too. And when I went on Box Office Mojo, sure enough, like, you know, there's a tremendous amount of the Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, Saw, you know, these cheap horror movies, Police Academy, like I said, that horror franchise. There's, you know, where it's like, oh, yeah, they just made a bunch of those movies without thinking about really anything. But, you know, we, like you said, we are in a kind of a different age when the fourth Mission Impossible can be, you know, as good as it is, or Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, you know, is the seventh, I believe, in that series. So we kind of live in a different age, so we can actually have expectations. But at the same time, even in this day and age, when there's, you know, good stuff that's this deep into a franchise, you know, it's still more of an anomaly than I for some reason thought it would be. And I guess I'll quit skirting around it. When I say the only thing that's the best thing in the franchise, I think, is Fast Five. And it's got the number right there in the title. And, you know, part of me is like, I wonder if Justin Lin is so cocky there that he's like, yeah, the number five is in the title, and there's no way this should be good. But lo and behold, it's the best, you know, entry in this franchise and one of the best action movies in years. So that was a kind of high watermark. And especially when you start considering movies that are like one continuity, you know. Batman Begins was the working title for Batman Begins in 1999 or whatever, was Batman 5, before they went the reboot direction. So I don't even know if reboots like that count. But even if they do, Batman Begins isn't necessarily the best, you know, entry in the overall Batman movie series, whether you're counting it as continuity or not.
No, I certainly wouldn't personally count those. I mean, I think Planet of the Apes series might be a little different, but I don't. If Joel Schumacher, you know, made this many more Batman movies, I might count that. Or if Tim Burton made a fifth Batman movie, I might count that, as long as it stayed stuck with the continuity. That being said, I'm not the kind of, nerd stickler who would consider Captain America the First Avenger the fifth in that series. No, I don't think so. I mean, because I think that I consider Captain America the Winter Soldier Captain America 2, right? And if Iron Man has a fifth Iron Man movie, that'll be Iron Man 5, and it'll have nothing to do with the rest of the cinematic universe. And I'm sure that there are people out there, and you might even consider they are all a part of the same continuity. There's no arguing that, but all a part of the same family.
Series.
It is a little bit more complex, but I do think that, the name of the first Captain America movie is called The First Avenger. They marketed that as a Marvel movie, and then second as a prequel, basically, to the Avengers movie, and then third, hey, also, it's Captain America, you know him, right? So that's kind of what I'm thinking is, if the audiences are going to something because it's another entry in the series of something, then I count it as the movie in the series.
Yeah, but Avengers isn't necessarily a Captain America movie. And I just personally, it's me, the moviegoer. I can't look at it and label it that way because
right. It
just doesn't fall into the same classification. And I get it. I understand the continuity is all the same. But, I mean, you're talking about something that is so specifically Captain America with these other two movies and then the Avengers. Would you call Captain America the First Avenger a sequel to The Incredible Hulk?
Not in the traditional sense, but sure, yeah. I mean, I guess I kind of have to. Or a spinoff, I guess. If we're talking in TV terms, it's not a direct sequel, but it is a continuation of the overall story of that world. But, I'm willing to put all those off the table, and I think if you do that, and if you take reboots off the table, then yeah, that just makes the statistics for Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and Terminator 5, it takes the statistical chance of those being good down a bit, because you're just taking good movies like Batman Begins and Superman Returns, and Captain America, the First Avenger off the table.
I don't mean to, send us on that the Avengers tangent necessarily and focus on that continuity, but you bring up Fast Five and just the Fast and Furious franchise, and we talked a lot about this on an early episode of Film Nerds Unlimited, just the evolution, the growth of this franchise, the direction that they decided to take it once they hit that fourth movie and kind of figured it out. And culminated with the fifth, and yes, what I also consider the best movie of the franchise. And I think that it set kind of a weird Hollywood standard in that moment where audiences learned that the fifth movie in a franchise can be the best movie. The sixth movie can be the best movie. If part five was so great and they have this unique attitude about where this franchise is going to go, why can't part six be just as good, if not better? And it's really unique, perhaps specifically so for the Fast and Furious franchise, but there are others that are sort of following the same model and have the same attitude about the stories that they're telling. They're filmmakers who are growing instead of having fatigue in working on these franchises and with these characters. They're thinking of new directions and places that they can go. And I think Mission Impossible is a great example of that, too. We have yet to see Rogue Nation, but part four, thanks to, obviously, the people behind the studio behind it and Tom Cruise and the director, just incredibly talented director that they chose to make it, it turned out to be one of the, if not the, in the eyes of some, best of that franchise. And Rogue Nation looks like it could be that too.
Yeah. So what about prequels? In the Star Wars, if you count Star Wars as one long saga, which I know you don't, you count the original trilogy and then something, and then nothing really happened, and then there's a new movie coming out this year. But if you count that as a six-movie franchise, then the fifth movie, if you're going chronologically, not in episode order, The fifth movie is Attack of the Clones,
yes.
Which I think is the worst movie in all six of them. And then if you go with The Hobbit, The Hobbit trilogy, then you have The Desolation of Smaug, which I think is the best movie in that trilogy, and almost as good as, you know, the original Lord of the Rings trilogy. So what do you think? Do those count as fifth movies, or are they cheap?
We can stick with prequels here, but I think you just get into really dangerous territory when you tack these extra trilogies or movies onto these existing trilogies, like Indiana Jones, like Star Wars, like, you know, others we can think of here. And all of a sudden, the beloved Indiana Jones trilogy that we loved and considered one of the greatest trilogies of all time is no longer a trilogy. You know, there are people like me who want to, continue to defy the truth, deny that, you know, be crystal skull deniers for the rest of our lives and just consider the Indiana Jones trilogy as it was and is forever, but it's just not the case anymore. And to me, that bugs me as a film goer. With prequels, I think that you just, I don't know, like I'm sort of going by my own rules here and sort of separating the two. I don't consider the Hobbit movies a continuation of those Lord of the Rings movies, personally. I think that it's something that's completely separate from it, even though they're filled with references to each other and it's by the same director and much of the same crew and some of the same actors. I'm comfortable separating the two, even though, like, officially that might not be the case. But
so how can that, if that's officially a narrative prequel, like very, very officially a narrative prequel to that trilogy, to that earlier trilogy, so that's the official thing that you're ignoring, that official thing, but you can't ignore the official fourth movie attached to a trilogy. But I don't understand. Like, why does a fourth movie ruin the trilogy? Why can't you just say, no, there's a Die Hard trilogy? Because it's three movies. That's all you need to make a trilogy. Are you afraid that somebody's going to say, oh, he's talking about the Die Hard trilogy, you know, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Live Free or Die Hard, or A Good Day to Die Hard?
Well, those, you would consider Die that Hard. A trilogy, wouldn't you?
I mean, those are three movies in
three
that
movies
in
that
franchise.
Are conceivably part of the same continuity and franchise.
Right, but they're not, like, the trilogy. Like, I don't know, I feel like if something stood on its own as the trilogy for a period of time, then it's a trilogy. I think if you say the Harry Potter trilogy, I'm going to scratch my head because I don't know what you're talking about.
There is no Harry Potter trilogy.
There is no Harry. Exactly, because it was always going to be more than that. But I still think if you say to me the Indiana Jones trilogy or the Die Hard trilogy, I'll totally know what you're talking about. I'm not going to assume.
Yeah, but how do we know that if they had stopped at Last Crusade, or, you know, how do we know that they always wanted to stop all along with that, even though they called it the Last Crusade? I mean, how do we know that there wasn't always going to be more than that, and it wasn't just going to be a trilogy?
Because it lived in the cultural zeitgeist as a trilogy for,
well, yeah,
you
well,
know,
it's not
an
a trilogy
indeterminate period of
there's
time.
A fourth movie.
Right, but I can ignore that if I want. The same way that you ignore that, you somehow ignore that, you know, the Hobbit movies aren't in the same continuity as the Lord of the Rings movies.
I'm not saying they're not part of the same continuity. I'm just saying, like, as film trilogies, I can separate them.
They're two trilogies.
I mean, it's the same with Star Wars. It's the exact same thing with Star Wars. It's like those trilogies are completely separate entities, even though they are part of this insane continuity that George Lucas whipped up between
So if they made two more Indiana Jones movies, you'd be okay going back to calling the original trilogy a trilogy? Because it was in a clump of, you know, 8 years.
Aware of the context in that they wanted to tack this on to the original trilogy and continue the continuity and add to those first three movies. They wanted it to be a part of that family. So,
but you're aware of the same thing with The Hobbit. I'm so confused. You're aware of the same thing with The Hobbit. I mean, they go to such great extent to, like, recreate scenes from the original Lord of the Rings movies in those
right.
Hobbit movies. So, yeah, I guess this is turning into your brain works in a way that my brain doesn't. And I'm,
that,
I'm
we've known that for a really long time.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time with that. So let's go back to the topic. Star Trek V, A Good Day to Die Hard, Rocky V, Battle for the Planet of the Apes. Those are kind of are those the worst case scenarios there?
No, yes, they are. I'm sure in the eyes of most people, I'm one of the weirdos who actually likes Rocky V.
Whoa!
Considers that a good example of a fifth movie.
What? I never knew that.
For different reasons. But, you know, and it probably, look, it probably ranks fifth in the original five. Again, like, we can get into this conversation about Rocky Balboa, too, which I think is a piece of trash. But
wow. Yeah, we're back in that your brain is weird conversation. all right.
I'll just say this about Rocky V. I think that they, and perhaps it's because of the presence of John G. Avildsen, I think that they recaptured some of the spirit and tone of the first Rocky movie. Not necessarily because just narratively they went back to the old neighborhood in Philly, but to me, just watching it, it felt like the first Rocky movie again. It just did, and it felt like the Rocky Balboa character who underwent this enormous intellectual growth in part three and part four, he felt like that character again to me. And it has all sorts of wacky, strange, and, you know, inexplicable things that happen in it, you know, with these new characters. But I like it. I think his son is a, you know, just petulant, just non character, but I like the Tommy Gunn character, no matter how bad Tommy Morrison is in that movie. I like the dude.
R.I.P.
I think he's hilarious. I mean, there are just things in that movie I just like. Maybe it's because I'm a Rocky fan generally, but I like Rocky V. I don't ignore it. I don't choose to ignore it. I choose to acknowledge it as a fine piece of the franchise.
Yeah, no, I'm not suggesting we ignore any of these movies. I'm just citing what is probably the generally accepted, you know, worst case scenario with
I accept it as a generally worst case scenario in the eyes of most moviegoers, but I choose to like it. I'm honest with myself, and I think it's pretty fun.
Hey. Yeah, no, that's good. Hey, good for you. You know,
hey, thanks,
good
man.
For you. Yeah. So, all right. So, what's the best case scenario? So, like Terminator Genesis. Oh man, I said it. It is, I feel like the best case scenario there is like X-Men First Class, you know, which is a complete shakeup of the continuity. It's not really a prequel because it takes kind of huge license with the way that time works. But it shakes things up enough, and it is the kind of fifth entry after – you know, a troubled third movie and a completely, you know, out of context mess of a fourth movie in X-Men Origins Wolverine. Would you think that is that the best case? I mean, obviously Terminator 5 could be better than X-Men First Class, but do you think that that's kind of a good analog for that?
I guess. I mean, if our standard for the fifth movie in a franchise is, it's pretty good.
Right.
And, you know, that's how I feel about X-Men First Class. But I wouldn't say it's the best case scenario because I think we've already mentioned the best case scenario, that is Fast Five. I mean, this is the you know, the end of the spectrum where all of these movies should really be vying to reach. Because, I mean, we've seen how good you can be. And maybe the bar was low in the eyes of a lot of people for the Fast and Furious franchise to make its best movie. But I would put that movie up against any just straight up action, fun, good, substantial action movie as any out there. I think it holds up with just about anything.
Yeah, well, I think that's why I wouldn't make that comparison there, is because the Fast Furious franchise didn't have, you know, Old Glory to really recapture. Whereas Terminator 5, I mean, for it to be the best thing in the franchise, it has to beat Terminator 2.
Right.
And, I mean, you know.
Well, nobody's expecting Genesis to be as good as Terminator 2. Nobody is.
Okay, so it's impossible for that to be, you know, the expectation for it. Yeah, I mean,
well,
I agree with you.
I don't want to sit here and say it can't be as good as Terminator 2 because I don't have that knowledge. I haven't seen the movie.
Exactly.
I don't know how I feel about it. It could be. Let's just keep that possibility on the table.
Let me reframe the question then. Is the best case scenario for Terminator 5 Terminator 2? Or is it still X-Men First Class, which is a pretty good – or are you saying it's – well, I'm just saying – what I'm saying is it can't be the Fast Five analogy because that movie is better than the movies that came before it.
Well, that's because we saw it and we know that. I mean, and we have those to compare it to. We haven't seen Terminator Genesis, to be, you know, fair, but – there are people who love the first Fast and Furious movie. There are people who love Tokyo Drift. And I'm guessing there are people who still consider those better movies than Fast Five. I mean, we're two guys
sure.
who think Fast Five is the best movie of that franchise. So, I mean, we can get into the whole subjective, objective discussion. I mean, there's no way to be objective about what is the best of a franchise.
Sure.
I have a feeling, I mean, we both have a feeling that Terminator Genesis is not going to be the best Terminator movie ever made, but we have to, until we see it, you know, like you said in a previous episode, you have to go into something with the floating 100, right? And it's on the movie to let you down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, what about Mission Impossible Rogue Nation? Where are your expectations for that right now? Is your opinion of, you know, Mission Impossible 1 or 2 or 4 or I can't remember what your thoughts are on 3. Are they so high that it's like, well, if it's pretty good, I'll be happy? Or, hey, there's a good chance that this is going to be the best thing that I've seen so far in this franchise.
Well, if it's good, I'll be happy regardless, right? I mean, I'm not walking into this movie with the expectation that it has to be better than its predecessors, or else I'm not going to be happy with it, right? Like,
right.
If it's not as good as those, then I'll still love those other movies as much as I already do, right? And I like all of the Mission Impossible movies. I like them all. And from the looks of things and from the track records of Christopher McQuarrie and Tom Cruise and Paramount with this franchise, it looks good. I mean, in what I've seen in the trailers, it just looks good, and it looks like a continuation of what Brad Bird and company did with Part 4. So my expectations are very high for it. If it disappoints, it disappoints. It has no bearing on how I feel about the rest of the franchise.
Okay. All right, cool. Well,
I mean, it might have an effect on how I feel about the franchise as a whole, because then it becomes a part of it, right? And you have to consider it whenever you're evaluating the franchise as a whole. But when it comes to the other movies, it won't have any effect on that.
Okay, so it sounds like your personal quality high watermark for any fifth movie is Rocky V. So I think that's good.
Then nothing can fail,
you're
right?
You're gonna have a great time, I think. All right, so real quick, let me run down some fifth movies, and you tell me like yes or no if you like them or not. Cool? Are you up for this?
Yeah, why not?
And we talked about most of these already. And some of these I don't know, so if you haven't seen them, just say that. Friday the 13th?
What's the subtitle for that? Is that New Beginning?
I have no idea.
Well, if I don't know the subtitle, I don't know. I can't tell you.
Okay, well, then I think that tells us everything we need to know. I'm assuming the same thing with Halloween. I think that might be The Curse of Michael Myers.
I don't even know if I've seen that. Maybe on AMC one Sunday afternoon.
Okay. Battle for the Planet of the Apes?
That one runs together too. I haven't revisited that in a long time. I couldn't tell you the difference between that and the other Planet of the Apes sequels from the 70s.
Okay, yeah, it's not so good. It's probably the worst in the original franchise, except for maybe Beneath. But I actually still kind of like it. I think it's that Rocky V thing for me. We're not going to talk about Attack of the Clones. A Good Day to Die Hard.
It's awful.
Yeah. Okay, you talked about Rocky V. Star Trek V, The Final Frontier.
I don't hate it like everybody else does. I don't consider it the just piece of garbage that Star Trek movies, Star Trek fans seem to, but I don't want to watch it every day or anything. I just remember seeing it and thinking, oh, okay, well, no, that's a Star Trek movie, and it's fine.
Is there, off the top of your head, can you think of a Star Trek movie you like less?
Insurrection, maybe?
Okay. All right. That's a fair answer. I like instruction, but all right. Predators.
I don't mind Predators, but is that really the fifth Predator movie? Are you kidding? So the AVP counts?
Yeah. Hey, you got to, right? That, and that actually, that makes AVP, that makes that the fifth Alien movie. So I just refuse to even talk about it.
What a joke.
Really.
See, that, exactly. It's a joke. It's not the fifth Predator movie. It's not. It's the third Predator movie.
It's the third one?
The
okay.
Third. I mean, you're blending franchises here. It's a joke.
How is that blending franchises? The franchise name is in the title. How can you not count Alien versus Predator as an Alien or Predator movie?
They're based on a video game, man, that, like, is completely – I just can't.
Oh, that's cool. So I don't have to count Dawn of Justice as a Superman movie. Well, that works for me. Sweet. Okay. Amazing Spider-Man 2 might not work.
No, it doesn't work.
Yeah, because it's a reboot.
Because it's got no number 2 in it.
But it's the fifth movie. That's why it's on the list. All right, but it's fine. Wait, let's go back real quick. Do we need to work something out with this whole AVP thing? I don't want to leave, you know, open wounds here.
What needs to be worked out?
You just seem awfully frustrated that I turned the Batman v Superman thing around on you.
No. That was good for the laugh.
Okay.
It really is. But no, it's hard for me to take AVP, the AVP movies, seriously as a part of that continuity. It's hard. I mean, it's hard for me to look at it as a legit sequel to what John McTiernan and Arnold Schwarzenegger gave us in the 80s. It's just not, I don't know.
Sure.
I don't think it considers itself that. I think if you asked the movie's AVP, hey guys, do you really consider yourself part of this family? They'd probably look off in shame and say, no, we don't.
All right. Well, I think I could probably ask Zack Snyder, hey, do you consider yourself a maker of Superman movies? And he would say, talk to me when I'm not doing crunches. All right. So, Muppet Treasure Island.
Oh my God. Sure. Yeah. I consider that one of the better. I'd file that in the good Muppet movies column,
yeah.
Even though it's not one of the better Muppet movies. The best,
yeah.
I'll say.
Which, again, seems to be kind of the theme for a lot of these. Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
I do not like Order of the Phoenix. It's my least favorite Harry Potter movie. Maybe Chamber of Secrets is the least. I don't know. It's between the two of them, but I really had a bad experience with Order of the Phoenix. Did not like it.
Yeah, I had a bad time in the theater, and then I saw it again, and I liked it. But, yeah, it's definitely not the best of the franchise.
No,
it's better than Rocky V.
I don't know. I'd probably go Rocky V.
All right. Did I cut you off just now?
No.
Okay. All right. And then so finally, we mentioned Superman Returns doesn't count because it's kind of a reboot, even though Bryan Singer says it's not. But it kind of is, and it's tough to count that, you know, in the same – you know, series as those original four Superman movies. Okay, but the last one that I'll mention that I think, if we're taking reboots off the table, is probably right there with, well, I think it's better than Fast Five. It's the fifth James Bond movie, You Only Live Twice.
Go ahead.
I just think that's a high watermark for franchises that, you know, those movies weren't Harry Potter where they were planned out ahead of time. They were kind of like, well, we made one. I guess it made money, so let's make another one. Oh, well, let's do this one. And I think it's in line with the template that they set up in Goldfinger, but it's willing to go some crazy places in terms of plot, and it starts to really take the James Bond series to this amazing, like, sci-fi adventure spy epic kind of place with the spaceships and the volcano base and everything. So I think it has a lot of the touchstones of that series that we all kind of attribute to it. I mean, it's the movie that Austin Powers borrowed from the most, I think, to make its parody. So I think that makes it a seminal entry in that series, and I just think it's a pretty fantastic movie all around.
I do, too. I really like You Only Live Twice. I mean, that's the first time we meet Blofeld, too, right?
Exactly. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and but do you consider it a sequel?
Of course.
You do?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean these James movies, Bond other, you know, outside, out, but outside of the Daniel Craig movies, which all follow the same continuity, none of the others do or really do.
Well, but that's so, like, do you consider Batman Forever a sequel to Batman Returns?
No.
Oh. Wow. What am I even doing talking to you? You have the weirdest rules.
Well,
interesting.
I mean, I guess Michael Goh is, and Pat Hingle would say differently.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah,
they would.
Well,
yeah,
the reason people went to go see the You Only Live Twice is because they loved the four other James Bond movies that were released like a year before, you know?
Yeah,
so that's
makes true.
It, and it has the same actor, and it has the same support, it has similar supporting cast in M and Q. I don't know how you can't see it as a sequel.
Because I think they start fresh story-wise with every Bond movie, and it's hard for, like, I consider a sequel a continuation of continuity.
Well, don't they do the same thing with Mission Impossible? Mission Impossible 2 has nothing at all to do with the first Mission Impossible.
There's zero callbacks to it?
Basically. I mean, there's as many callbacks in that as there are from You Only Live Twice to Thunderball.
Oh.
Or, you know, or the other movies that came before it. You're a weirdo. You're just, what is this?
You're like opposite day when you say that.
Well, what I'm trying to say is I think that's the high water mark for
fifth movies.
That's what Mission Impossible Rogue Nation could be. I think that Mission Impossible has already reached the heights that the Fast franchise reached. So I don't think it's going to be a Fast Five situation. It could well be where it's the best one in the series, and I really hope so. But I think that this is a good chance for that series to sink its teeth in and really, you know, do something different than the other ones, but then also set up some new stuff that the other, you know, if they're going to keep making these movies until Tom Cruise dies, you know, set up things for those movies to, well, that's true because Scientology is real.
Right.
And he's proving it one movie at a time.
Right. All the midichlorians or whatever they do.
Yeah. Yeah. Zero thesis.
Right.
So that's where I'm at right now with that movie. I'm really looking forward to it. I have a lot of hopes for it, and I think Terminator 5, at this point, when I walk out of the theater, if it comes even close to something like X-Men First Class, I'll be pretty satisfied. If I even see it in the theater.
Yeah, well, I think for a lot of people, if it's just not a steaming pile of what we all expect it to be, then we'll be at least a little happy.
Exactly.
But what about fifth movies or fourth sequels that you want? I mean, like, I would be thrilled if tomorrow Warner Brothers announced we're doing Lethal Weapon 5.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of this. I wish I had prepared. But yeah, absolutely. That's one that, because I like Lethal Weapon 4 so much, because they managed to make that movie with so much fun and with such a sense of, like, internal community, you know? Like, the
yes.
cast of that movie worked so well together. And then Richard Donner made sure that he, you know, shot, like, some of the best action sequences in that series. Yeah, I'd be totally down with that.
Best of the 90s, man. It, like, some of the best action of the 90s is in that
absolutely.
Movie. I love Lethal Weapon 4. And there's kind of, like, a weird finality to it, though, with some of the characters.
Yeah,
with that whole closing credit sequence with the war song playing of, like, photos of the crew during the making of the movie. You know, it's just kind of like saying, we're all saying goodbye to this. Unless, you know, there's a buck to be made, then we'll all come back.
Right, and that's what I'd be afraid of. And also, Richard Donner's getting pretty up there. Danny
yeah.
Glover's, you know, doing his thing.
Oh, you don't think he'd make Lethal Weapon 5?
Oh, yeah, he'd be in on it. I'm just saying, I don't know if he'd be in that. I don't know if that's. I don't know if we'd get the same Danny Glover.
And
we wouldn't get the same Mel Gibson.
I don't know. I think we could. I think that, I mean, those are roles, I think, by now, that those guys could just roll out of bed and play. But yeah, I think Danny Glover would be there. I think they'd all come back for sure. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be too busy. you know, at this point in their careers. I mean, it's kind of like when Lisa Turtle didn't show up for the Saved by the Bell reunion on Jimmy Fallon because she was too busy doing what?
So what if they greenlight it tomorrow without Richard Donner? What if Mel Gibson directs it? Ooh, that would actually be pretty
awesome. Oh, if Mel Gibson directs it.
Dude.
Clear the calendar, man.
Yeah. So what if, like, Len Wiseman directs it?
Or the dude who made Wanted or something? Yeah.
Seymour? Like, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, it would be upsetting for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I want from people – So are we upset that it's not George Lucas making the new Star Wars movie? No. So what if Richard Donner is at a point where he would make a Lethal Weapon movie like George Lucas made a Star Wars movie? But there's somebody out there who has so much reverence for all four of those movies and those characters and Richard Donner and what he did and wanted to recapture and maybe do something in a new way that only they could do, then I would be excited about it. If I was reassured.
Is Brian Singer? What about Brian Singer? He's like buddies with Richard Donner. You know,
yeah, I'd be totally down with that. But ideally, I would want the Richard Donner movie. If he's too old to do it, then just find somebody who gets it. That's what matters. You got to find somebody who gets it. Not, you know, with the Expendables, and we're off on another tangent, and I'm sorry, but I mean, they needed somebody to make those movies who grew up watching Schwarzenegger and Stallone and Van Damme movies and loved them and would only treat a project like that where all of those guys were assembled with the utmost respect and care and make a badass action movie that those actors deserve, even this late in their career. But perhaps it was Sylvester Stallone who prevented them from doing that single-handedly.
Yeah, I was about to say, the first one was directed by a guy that loved all of the movies of one of those people.
Right.
Well, I think the second one, I think, is better than the first. I haven't seen the third. But I think the second one gets something right, at least in trying to get the kind of director that used to make those kind of movies. And Simon West, you know, he made Con Air. And I think that's an okay approach to it, you know, to try to get a guy that really needs a hit and totally has the chops and just needs the chance to do it. You know, I'd be okay with that.
Are you
maybe
excited
not with
for the
weapon?
Yeah, for the potential for Expendables 5?
You know, I didn't see the third one, and I don't know if when I will, and that's sad because I'm that guy, you know, I'm the guy that loves Schwarzenegger movies from the
80s. They burn
so,
you. Those movies.
They burn me. And I like the second one, but it's just like I don't have the energy to make myself try to like this thing that's basically just depressing, you know?
No, I actually liked part three. I actually kind of liked it.
Really?
Okay. I mean, it's just as cheap as the first two movies and has that sort of cheap air about it, but it, you know, gave Mel Gibson something to do, and he's actually kind of fun as the bad guy, and it sort of woke Harrison Ford up for like 5 minutes on screen. I mean,
wow.
Yeah. Like,
and that was a younger director. So that may be very well that he may be a huge fan of, you know, old 80s action movies.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about how like Fast and Furious is what the Expendables should be. But
of course, yeah.
I just, you know, maybe you start over. Maybe you start over and try this again with these same actors, you know, and give Schwarzenegger the movie that we've been waiting for since his comeback. But I don't know. I think that if the Expendables are going to go on, then there's still a lot of potential, and there's still places you can go with those characters, and you can work your way towards a fifth movie that could mean something. I think, to stick with this conversation, the fifth Expendables movie could very well be the best Expendables movie if they make it that far.
Oh, sure, yeah. It could totally be a franchise that's ripe for, you know, a Fast and Furious kind of approach to, you know, okay, we're this far in. Why don't we actually make it good, you know?
I kind of wish that Edgar Wright would make the next Expendables movie just to sort of, like, get the Ant-Man thing out of his system.
Oh, absolutely.
Just make the badass action movie that you grew up loving, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, that's something that we've talked about on other shows too, is the idea that, you know, the series that's not doing very well and has very little, I guess, capital with audiences, you know, the best situation for that is for a young, clever, and energetic filmmaker to pick that up and do something, kind of like how Justin Lin did with Tokyo Drift. You know, that franchise was two movies in but was already flailing. So he came in and made something a little bit more original, a little cheaper, but something a lot more exciting, and then kind of got the ball and ran with it. So, yeah, it'd be a dream for there to be, you know, a franchise that had potential but just wasn't being used, like The Expendables, and a crazy young guy picked it up and actually did something with it.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I listened to a recent episode of this podcast, and when you did your fantasy producing with the Last Action Hero sequel, it just made me...
What a dream.
Yeah. It made me want to, you know, do a little bit of my own there. But for the fifth movies that could be, I mean, obviously, I think everybody's pumped for wherever George Miller goes with the next Mad Max movie, which will be the fifth. And, I'm sure that there are lots of Bourne people out there who are pumped about whatever comes next, if Matt Damon and possibly Paul Greengrass are involved.
That's another great series that, look, if they're going to – I don't think they need to make any more, but if they absolutely need to make more, give it to somebody that's really going to do something with it, you know? I like the Gilroy that made that movie, Tony Gilroy. I like him, but it seemed like he had such an idea of what the other movie should have been that he made that instead of, you know, doing something new and original. Like, he made his own version of the first movie or what his second movie would look like, and it was just kind of this watered-down thing that, you know, once you go to the craziness of the Bourne Ultimatum, I don't really know how you go back to anything else. So I think that's another example. You know, I think, obviously, I think this is probably the most predictable thing. A fifth Indiana Jones movie that isn't a reboot, starring Harrison Ford, now that George Miller at 70 has gone out to the desert to make, you know, this new action classic as it's being hailed, I would love for Spielberg to do what he did with the Robert Zemeckis motion capture, where he saw this director trying this thing and not quite nailing it, and then decided to do it himself with Tintin and just really did a great job with it and went to new places with it. I would love for him to look at George Miller and be like, okay, if you're going to make this like real stunt action spectacular out in the desert, I'm going to get my buddy together and we're going to do one last shot at this, and I'm going to, you know, redeem this, what some people say is a completely, you know, hopeless franchise after that fourth movie that disappointed so many people. I would love to see a fifth Indiana Jones movie with real stunts, you know, made the way that Raiders was made. You know, even if you see Harrison Ford's stunt double's face every now and then, like in the beginning of Moonraker, you know, with that jump where you see Roger Moore's double's face.
Or in Name Your Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Exactly, yeah, when it's just like some dude, you know, it's not a bodybuilder. In True Lies, when he's like jumping, you know, into the water out of the explosion.
Yeah, or
just like,
yeah, when he's
my dad
on the motorcycle in T2, you know.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't
yeah,
care.
Just do that. Yeah, do that, and then get Ford in there for the close-ups.
Yeah, I think we all, you know, the true and honest Indiana Jones fan deserve it to be done the right way if they're going to do it again. And, I mean, it sounds like it is something that they want to do before they do reboot it with Chris Pratt or whomever. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's been the talk for the past few years. It's like, we're not quite – I mean, there's been a lot of reboot talk, but I think for me personally, I've heard just as much talk about doing it again, having a do-over.
Okay, yeah. The last thing I kind of read was Lucasfilm has it. They know they want to do something new with it. They just don't have a script yet, so they're not going to get started with it. I thought that Spielberg is basically done, but I'm kind of hoping that, look, after Bridge of Spies and after the BFG, he, you know, he looks at his schedule and he says, you know, I'm getting up there and I can't make this movie, you know, in 10 years, but I can make it now. And Harrison Ford will probably do whatever as long as you, you know, dump a bunch of money up in front of his house. And, you know, he might have some medical bills that he needs to take care of. So
as long as you, you know, Famous Amos on the craft services table, I'm sure Harrison will pop up for whatever he likes.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, that's what would totally, you know, make my day tomorrow. Because, like you said, like true Indiana Jones fans, you know, we've loved these four movies, and it's time for us to get, you know, another one in the vein of the original.
Right. You left out the honest part, but right.
Oh, well, no, I'm very honest. These four movies are honestly, you know, all good. Three of them are great.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.
I still have, like, stacks of, like, premieres, you know,
right.
Where I think I still have that 2004 one where it was like, Troy, it's going to be huge.
Yeah,
you know?
I remember for sure. Phenomenon's going to make bank.
Yeah, I was looking at one the other day, and it was like Batman Begins. It was the 2005 one. It was like Batman Begins, big article on that. And then there was like, oh, man, it was like Into the Blue, you know, like maybe this is going to be the big one for Paul Walker. I love looking back at old premieres, and I love looking back at old like star logs and stuff. Like I read a star log from like the mid 80s, and it was like Robot Jocks is going to revolutionize science fiction cinema. Yeah, that's amazing.